Housewives of True Crime podcast episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are just a few things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on your car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay.
And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by nine because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Hello.
Welcome to
Housewives of True Crime.
Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
So how's it going, Tabby? Having fun?
Oh, yeah. I could not wait to get down to the southern part of California.
Because you were so excited to see me?
Well, for sure, because of that.
Tab traveled this time, guys.
I did. And, you know, the traffic to Newport
balls
was a little balls, but the traffic to San Diego was a real balls.
Oh, yeah.
That was a real, I mean, we should have taken the train.
Oh, yeah.
But let me tell you, it was like the 4-hour car ride didn't matter for what happened, like the 8 hours of the day before that.
What happened
like
before?
Leading up. Okay, so my son, I think I already told you guys that he is now in school or like summer school.
Uh-huh.
You know, my little one like puked the first day he went.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I get a call from the principal and he's been in the office twice already.
Ooh.
So then I'm like, oh God, okay. That, you know, doesn't make me feel good.
No.
And I keep moving throughout my day. I go pick him up and I bring the dogs because I'm like, okay, this is going to cheer him up and it's going to be great. And so we pick him up with the dogs in the car. And then I go pick up my other son from soccer camp with the dogs in the car. And I just got my car cleaned. Okay.
Okay.
I see my dog and he starts like heaving.
Oh, yeah. I know that heave.
And he's sitting on the console of the car. I'm like, oh God, he's going to freaking puke all over this car that I just got washed. And listen, for me to get my car washed, I don't have like the hour and a half to sit there.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know what I did?
What?
I put my hand under the dog's mouth and I caught
my hand
while I'm driving into the parking lot of the soccer camp.
Listen, okay. I always have a giant plastic cup, like some old, like, you know,
I had just
souvenir cup from somewhere within reach, because you never know when puke is going to fly.
Oh my God. So I usually do also, but because I just got the car washed the night before, I took everything out of my car, including the wipes. So it was so gross.
You can't not have the wipes.
I almost puked myself. I'm like, oh my God, how did this just happen? How did I just catch my dog's puke?
Dog puke is way worse than kid puke.
Oh, it's...
Oh, it's making me sick just thinking about it.
Sorry, guys. I know that is so gross. So I just was like, can I just get to Orange County, please? And I forget what else happened. Something else, like, I don't know. I was like, I got to get in the car. My suitcase rolled, hit a car down the road. I mean, I couldn't wait to just be.
Well, what was the deal with school? Why did we go to the principal's office?
He's a runner.
Oh, he's a runner.
He ran out of class and they said, you know, that's very dangerous. I mean, it's a closed campus, so I don't know how dangerous it really is. But you know, they don't want him running around the...
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll adjust.
He's like that wild horse.
They call that eloping in the special ed crowd. Yeah, he's an eloper.
He is. You know, he's a nervous child, so I just have to kind of scare him a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, that was a bummer. And then we made it down to Gretchen's hood, and we had a fabulous time.
Oh, yeah. Showed him around the OC.
Yeah. So, you guys, I don't know if you saw our Instagram stories. We were having a good time. Didn't feel so good in the morning.
No. But we hit the Q-dub. Quiet Woman.
The Quiet Woman. So all the Housewives of OC fans out there, you know where this is.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea because I am, you know, stuck under a rock when it comes to television.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know some OC, but anyhow. No, I knew that there was a fight there. I did see that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. However.
It's a hot spot.
It's a hot
spot. It's excellent people watching.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're wanting to dance with Hugh Hefner,
mm-hmm.
I mean, straight from the grave, Hugh Hefner.
I think he was wearing a sequins jacket.
He was for sure.
He's a delightful gentleman. Don't hate on him.
He was delightful. I mean, the sunglasses from the 70s in The Quiet Woman with the sequins jacket. Uh-huh. And
oh, yeah. It's a real mixed crowd.
It is. It is.
Oh, and then we went to the polar opposite.
Yeah, we went to Sharky's.
Yeah.
Is that what
that called? Was your husband's fault, by the way.
It was my husband's fault. He was like, this place looks fun.
Let me tell you what I had to do with the Sharky's people. Okay, there was a long line to the bathroom. Three stalls.
Most people doing probably coke inside of each
probably. One. Right. But mommy's got to go. So one stall door is like open and no one's going in there. So I'm like, I'm just going to check out.
Oh my God, I totally forgot you did this.
Yeah. I was like, let me just check out and see how bad it is.
Oh God.
And it's just like some toilet paper backed up in the toilet. It wasn't like overflowing or anything, but there was a plunger right there next to it.
Gretchen seriously starts plunging
so
the
I just
toilet
plunged it.
At the club. Okay.
I wiped it down with some sanitizing wipes.
I thought it was so funny.
All these little girls started videotaping me.
18-year-olds.
Like I was like, the mommy just came in.
Yeah, you were. Hello. Oh. We were old as F in
Listen,
this club.
And then I turned to all of them and said, I think I deserve to cut in line, ladies.
You did. Yeah. Like, I'm taking this one.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're welcome.
So funny. I'm going to post that video because I was also videoing you. That's so funny. Then we hopped in the car for another 2 hours to get down to the Del Mar races.
More than that.
Yeah, right. It was like two hours.
Traffic is so bad.
So we got to the horse races and, you know, we were a little like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot in the news about the horse races.
Yeah.
But we really, the thing is, though, I love horses and I love gambling.
I know. I mean, we really like gambling.
We like gambling a lot. I think, I mean, yeah.
And we're winners.
Yeah, we were winners, but I mean, not like huge winners, but.
Oh, we won, you know, I won $9.60.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, good for you. My husband won $120 at one
I know,
point.
That's. Good. And my husband won 85 or 86 bucks. But
I don't think my friend Lauren.
Did she not win anything?
I don't think they won.
Oh, no.
I feel kind of bad.
Yeah.
But
hi, Lauren.
I hope she had a good time.
Yeah, I hope
hi,
she
Lauren.
Did, too.
She's a great friend. She's a good listener.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. One of the horses went wild.
I know. I think maybe.
Yeah. The jockey fell off and the horse took off like it was not having any racing.
Yeah.
And then we both were like, ooh, yeah.
We got to find maybe another excursion. I really just like that we plan something and then we all get together.
Me too. And Gretchen said instead of...
And I'm always the one that plans it. So maybe Tab can think of something.
Well, I'll plan the UFC. She said we're going to just bet on humans.
Oh, people.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you know, people protest that too.
Well, I am not into violence.
It's a sport.
I mean, I am.
Those guys
I talk
train like crazy. And let me tell you. I got a girl crush on Amanda Nunez, too.
Oh, I know. You just did.
Yeah.
I know. So, anyways, then we went out in San Diego.
Oh, my gosh. Comic-Con, you guys, is going on right now.
Oh.
bananas.
Bananas. I mean, everybody is dressed up like some crazy superhero.
My husband is on this kick about running with the bulls for his 40th birthday. And I'm like, just walk the streets. It's crazy.
Crazy here.
Here. Seriously, the mobs of people are insane.
Yes. Yeah. It is insane. And they're dressed up.
Listen.
Like Hellboy.
And that Riddler girl was on fire.
Yeah. It's something, you guys. I mean, we thought Crime Con was something.
Nothing on Comic Con.
No, that's not Comic Con. Something else.
No.
But it's fun. It's good people watching. Oh, for sure. And now we're in the La Jolla.
Yeah.
Because that's where our crime occurred. Were we having an earthquake?
I certainly hope not. I'm not down.
It just felt like we were. Oh my God.
I've had enough earthquakes lately.
Yeah. So La Jolla, it's sleepier than the downtown crowd.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we went downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that restaurant? We got to shout out that restaurant.
Born and raised.
I mean, if anybody comes to San Diego or lives in San Diego and has not been to this restaurant, it is amazing and beautiful and awesome.
Yeah.
And probably like way too expensive.
No, I looked it all up.
Oh, you did?
Oh, because we didn't actually get to eat there. We just got a drink there and then just salivated over all the people were eating. And then we had to go to another restaurant.
You have to make reservations, by the way. Don't think you can show up and eat there.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's just like your normal steakhouse. Like nothing wasn't too, it certainly wasn't more expensive than the place we ended up eating.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely worth it then. Drinks were good.
Drinks were amazing.
Tableside drinks, tableside
everything.
Caesar salad.
Uh-huh.
Dessert, fire.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Cool.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you. Back to La Jolla.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you about a guy named John Watson.
Okay.
He was born in Britain, and he was very, very bright and hugely driven, much like our husbands.
Okay.
He went to Cambridge for college and then moved to the United States on a Fulbright scholar at Indiana University, where he earned his master's degree in marketing and finance. Now, do you know what a Fulbright scholar is?
No, but my maiden name is Albright. That reminds me of it. Fulbright. You know, sometimes they would call me half bright, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I didn't know that. That is so, yeah. That's like what you were teased with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you all bright or are you half bright?
Right.
You're like, no, I'm Fulbright.
Yeah.
So anyways, a Fulbright scholar is a type of education where an international student comes here, or we send U.S. students internationally and they do research and learn and write reports. And basically it's like for the greater good of the school, the university, and the country.
Okay.
So there's only so many that are given out every year.
Yeah, sounds fancy.
Yeah, and this guy got one, and he came over here, and after he earned his master's degree, he went to work for, like, super good companies. For, like, over 30 years, he served in various marketing, managerial, and executive positions at companies like Johnson & Johnson, which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
I am.
Although you don't use it.
No,
Johnson and Johnson for your baby.
No.
Only Hello Bello.
Right.
Wyeth Laboratories, ICN Pharmaceuticals. So basically he was like in the pharmaceutical industry. And then he got into like biotech, where he eventually became like the CEO and the president of Ionian Technologies in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what brings us here. So he, I mean, he had great accomplishments. I mean, working for all these crazy companies, it's like big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And he also, which was one of his like strong points, I think, helped one of his companies help create the HIV medication.
Okay.
Yeah. So after all these years, these 35 years, he became a millionaire. Wouldn't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was not married.
Okay.
And he was
a millionaire a couple times over, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
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 Big pharma, big money.
That's right.
Yeah.
Big vaccines, big money.
Yeah.
So he didn't have a wife, though. And he was good looking. Blonde hair, blue eyes, tall. I mean, he's a millionaire. I don't know.
He should have gone to the Q-Dub. Could have picked one up right quick.
Oh, I mean, he might have been like, even at 64, he might have been 20 years too young.
Oh, listen, there were some 20s hanging out there mm-hmm. waiting to get picked up.
They were, yeah.
Yeah.
They were. One of those guys wanted to pick me up.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't even care. Sean was standing right next to me.
This guy was like, there was this, she was like the bar greeter, this.
Oh, yeah,
nice,
she was.
Nice, fiery little lady walking. Well, she, I shouldn't say she was little. She was tall.
No, she was big.
Yeah, she was tall. And she was walking around and these guys were talking. And, oh, it was so awkward. They said, like, oh, is that your friend?
Oh, yeah.
They were so excited because they thought her friend was Tabitha. And she's like, no, that's my friend over there. And they were like, oh.
She's like, I'm not with her.
Yeah.
When I wish I was. So in 2008, at the age of 64, John retired.
Oh.
And, you know, he didn't retire doing nothing, of course, because he was super driven. He retired and joined this group called the Tech Coast Angels in La Jolla, California.
Okay.
This is a super cool group. It's a nonprofit. And basically, they give money to biotech startups.
Okay.
It's awesome. It's like a bunch of wealthy people that want to help the industry.
Okay.
And it was a perfect place for John. He became the board member very quickly. And they said he had a very keen sense of business and was able to sift through startups quickly, look at their financials, see if it made sense. And, you know, it was a good investment. But besides the big tech, big pharma, and the startups, John was a super, super passionate skier. He would ski in the Swiss Alps every year.
Beautiful.
Like, yeah. And he loved going with his sister, who still lived in the UK, on these ski trips.
Okay.
He also would go with a couple friends from San Diego, like his best buddies. They were named Beth and Manny Martinez.
Okay.
And Beth and Manny still live in the San Diego. I saw their Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do they share a Facebook page?
No.
Okay.
Thankfully. I mean,
okay.
They do
we
look like
know.
A perfect family.
You're guilty if you do.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they don't. And they look real cute. They have like kids and all their family pictures are really super on point.
Okay.
Okay. At one point, John's sister mentioned that he brought his friend Kent Kegwig to the ski trip. And actually, she said that Kent just kind of showed up in the Swiss Alps with his daughter. And
that's rando.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, John invited me. And John was trying to like play it off like, yeah, OK, cool. Let's hang out. But this guy was like making crass jokes and talking about how he got his girlfriend a boob job. And they were like, OK, dude, weird.
Yeah.
We're not down with that. And he was staying at some dumpy motel down the street. And he couldn't keep up on the Black Diamonds. Like, he was, like, more than he said he was, you know. So John kind of, like, you know, you've had those vacations where you kind of just, like, a friend is there or, like, a friend or an acquaintance is, like, at the same place. And then you're like, oh, yeah, we're busy.
Yeah.
I think they kind of did that.
Yeah.
So this Kent guy hung out for a while, but then he like headed himself back home. Mm-hmm. Couldn't keep up with the Joneses or the Watsons.
Okay.
Okay. So now back at home in the La Jolla, John, you know, single guy, not fancy with his money. He drives a 14-year-old car, which 14 years old for car, it's old, isn't it? Okay.
I'm, yeah, like, you're, but you're talking. Look who you're talking to. Okay.
You just got a new car.
Yeah, I just got a new car, but my previous vehicle was a 2005, which would make it 14 years old.
Oh. Okay. Gretchen drives. Okay, it's not that old then. 2005. My mom drives a 1998 car.
Okay, that's old.
That's old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you have like $15 million in the bank and you're driving a 14-year-old car, you don't need to. You're just doing it because you don't, you know, you don't give a fuck.
Some people are just like that.
Yes, and he was. And he lived in this two-bedroom apartment right here. And it's not fancy, is it, Gretchy?
No.
No, it was not fancy. He's just kind of like a normal dude. But you know what John did love to do, which I love to do? Work out 2 hours a day.
Oh.
And by working out, I mean, he would go windsurfing, running, cycling, play tennis, rollerblade.
Well, the beaches down here are spectacular. And the paths and everything.
Yes.
All around.
That's why cliffs. He lived here.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, dude, this is my kind of guy.
Yeah.
I would be his best buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't date him because he's way older than me, but. Gretchen's looking at me like.
Yeah. You said he was hot.
I said he was good looking.
Okay. Okay.
But he's older than my father.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You know, I mean, some people do that and it's fine, but I'm happily married anyway, so let's okay, just not even okay, so go there. True. But
okay.
I'm just saying he loves to do what I love to do.
Right.
And if I was retired, I'd be doing that same
yeah.
thing.
Okay.
Okay. Now, he was also part of like the sailing club, you know?
Yeah.
I love those clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't belong to one. My yeah. uncle does, but I think it's like a good place to meet people and
for
have friends.
Sure.
And Dr. Laura, I think, is in the
sailing
club.
She's a big sailor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She would probably suggest, you know, somebody called the other day like up to
sailing.
Dr. Laura.
Yeah.
And they were asking dating advice. And she's like, where do you meet the guys? Where are you going for like dates?
Yeah.
Sailing club.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he meets this guy. That's where he met this guy, Kent, who showed up on the ski trip.
Oh.
And he's super private, this John guy.
Okay.
But Kent was a financial advisor and loved talking stocks. And so did John, right? So I think that's kind of how they became friends, because Kent would always talk stocks with John and kind of like that. But Kent really tried to, you know, befriend John.
Yeah.
Kent, let me tell you a little about Kent real quick.
Okay.
He was a 58-year-old CPA that had worked for big firms like UBS and Morgan Stanley.
Uh-huh.
You know those?
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. And even more impressive, and this is not verified, but I read a few reports that this is what he claims. He claims in the 70s, he worked for the Shah of Iran, where he built their accounting system.
Okay. Though I feel like in the 70s, it probably wasn't that complicated.
Right. There's not even computers.
Yeah, one hardly. Of those giant IBMs.
Yeah. So Kent was let go from Morgan Stanley, and then he got a job at another company where he sold insurance for commission. You know those jobs?
Yes, I do.
Those are hard jobs.
I could never do it.
You
I'm
have
a horrible salesperson.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I am. Tabitha could.
I could do
anything.
It.
Yeah.
But I don't like doing that because I am a hustler, but that is like a hustle and a half. You know,
yeah.
you have to go to those sailing clubs and like schmooze and booze and
yeah.
And you're only getting commission. So you don't even have the money to do the schmoozing and boozing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that Kent was really looking at John to like, I don't know, buy his insurance policy or something. And John was like, oh, you know, I'll go sailing with you a couple times. He went cycling with him. But he didn't really love Kent's personality.
Yeah.
Right? I think that Kent was kind of like, John's this prestigious British guy, and Kent is this maybe a little WT
yeah.
white man.
Yeah. He's a sidler. You know, he sides up. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So John was one of those guys that sent these emails to like his whole entire friend contact list that are like jokes.
I hate to break right in during the middle of a story because, you know, I love storytelling. But the other thing I love to do is invest. So I had to tell you about Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it really easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with just your spare money you've got right now, even if it's just change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all the market's ups and downs. This is actually my favorite time to start investing, to be perfectly honest with you. You just need to stick with it, and Acorns makes that easy too. Acorns automatically invests your money, giving it a chance to grow with time. It has been really important to me and my family to invest, and I started years ago, and I have weathered some storms, and it has paid off. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink. That's acorns with an S .com/clink, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement, compensation provided, incentives to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advertisers LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Summer is right around the corner, and I know I don't want to worry about my kids missing a beat in their schoolwork, so I am making sure that they are sticking to iXL. If you have not heard about iXL yet, well, listen, it is so good if you have kids and they need to keep up with their learning, or they're struggling, or even if they are the smartest kid in the class. iXL has what every kid needs. We have used it with Kyla since she was in third grade. I've actually used it with all my kids, but it made a huge difference for Kyla learning math. She was struggling in third grade. We got iXL, and it's given her so much confidence that girlfriend is in advanced geometry now. Mind blowing. But they don't just have math. Actually, with one subscription, you get everything they have. And if you have a kid that's struggling, listen, iXL is where it's at. With a single hour of tutoring costs more than 1 month of iXL. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the United States are learning on iXL, and iXL is used in 96 out of the top 100 school districts in the United States. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get iXL now. And Housewives of True Crime listeners get an exclusive 20% off iXL membership when they sign up today at iXL.com/today. Visit iXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. When did you start investing your money and why? Well, I actually started pretty young because I knew I wanted to get my head out of the water early in life. Nowadays, it's actually so much easier to invest, and with Acorns, it has been the best. When Acorns sponsored our podcast, I jumped right on the chance to get their app, and it has been so easy to invest my money, even if it's just change that I have. So whether you want to invest big or just start small, Acorns is there for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all the market's ups and downs. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advertisers LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad we're past that phase in life, right?
But were you ever in that phase of life?
Before I get Facebook and everything, I got a lot of the, you know, those emails. No, I never get emails anymore.
No, but my mother-in-law and my father-in-law still send me some of those that they like forward, that they think their friends are so funny. Mm-hmm. And I see like it's like 50 people on the CC line. And I think it's an older generation
thing.
Yeah,
it's an older generation thing. Yeah.
Because they don't do the social media. So they're still on like,
yeah,
let me send you that funny joke. And one of John's friends said that at one point they saw that Kent wasn't on the friends CC list anymore. So he basically said, you know, John was like over this pesky guy.
Yeah, pesky. That's a good word. I feel like that's the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what, that's what the vibe is.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Yeah. Okay. That's a better word than like maybe WT, but.
Yeah. It's Seidler. Yeah. Pesky. It's pesky.
Yeah. And crass.
Yeah. And crass. Yeah.
So in 2009, John got a couple calls that from these like financial institutions were like, hey, thanks for signing up for your new bank account.
Oh, shoot.
And he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't sign up for no bank account. And then I think he got like an E-Trade one. It's like, thanks for signing up. And so he took it to the police. He's like, hey, you know, somebody stole my identity over here. And he did mention it to one of his financial guys at one of his banks.
Yeah.
Know, like, hey, somebody's trying to get in on my shit.
Yeah.
But anyways, move on. You know, what do? You like.
Yeah. Identity theft. It happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
We all know it happens. So on Tuesday, June 7th, 2010, John had a board meeting at the Tech Angels, and it was an important one. John was to be the first to present, and he never showed up.
Oh, no.
Now, John, being the single dude, doesn't really have anybody to, like, check on him, right?
Yeah.
So this, you know, his closest, like, his sister is in the UK, and then he has these, like, friends. But, you know, nobody's like, oh, and John doesn't own a cell phone.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
So his friend and fellow board member, Dr. Barry Kasser, became alarmed because basically this is not like John at all. Like, he never is a no-show. And he decides after the board meeting, he's going to go to John's apartment and see what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
So he goes over there, gets the security guard from, I guess, the apartment complex, and they head right up to John's apartment and they knock super loud and nobody answers. And the security guy opens the door. Now, John wasn't the cleanest guy. Okay. So his apartment was messy. Drawers were open and stuff was around, but they were like, I don't know if it was a burglary or not.
Yeah.
Right. And Barry noticed there was like an open bank statement on the counter, but also that doesn't seem weird to me either. And they go inside John's room and they find him laying face up in his underwear, dead.
Face up. Face underwear. Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But nothing looks super suspicious. Like, there's not.
Not like a pool of blood.
Crazy. No. No blood. There are like a couple scratches on his body, but, you know, he's like a super active guy. So, and it's La Jolla.
Yeah.
You know, there is no crime in La Jolla. Let me tell you, when we were staying down here and I was searching for like crimes, I think there's been like 3 murders in 10 years.
Well, listen, it all is happening downtown where the crime Connors are hanging out.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. We got out of there.
It's definitely not happening in this sleepy town.
I mean, it's happening, but.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live downtown. I'm not a downtown girl.
I would live in La Jolla in a heartbeat.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Live in La Jolla. Yeah.
So, you know, the investigators, they, from the coroner office, determined that John must have died of natural causes because the, like, injuries on his body were not, like, life-threatening.
Okay.
Right? They noticed that the lividity had set in, and you know that lividity. It's like
where the blood pools.
Yeah, the blood pools, and wherever it's pooled is where they know, like, the body had been sitting or died.
Right.
And then they can kind of tell how long the body has been dead. So they see that the body's been dead for at least a day. And they look around for, like, any emergency contact, and all they find is his friends Beth and Manny Martinez's number for an emergency contact. Because, you know, he didn't have a cell phone. I bet the guy remembered every single person's number that he ever called.
Oh, yeah. Yours is, like, the only phone number that I still know, and I had to force myself to memorize my husband's because he changed his number, yeah.
I do know a couple people's numbers also, but... That's it. I mean, I used to remember all of my
Everybody's.
Friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I do know my driver's license number and my credit card number off the top of my head.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Makes buying online easy.
Yeah.
So they call Beth and they let her know that John had died. And Beth shows up on Wednesday. Okay.
Okay.
To be exact. And she's like, where is John's computer? This doesn't look right. So she calls up the investigator and is like, this looks like foul play to me. And
ooh, good job.
Yeah, go Beth.
Yeah.
And that same day, Dr. Barry Kesser stops by also, you know, the guy that found him. And he's like, something isn't right here. John is like the epitome of health. He's not just going to kill over.
Yeah.
Like something is going on. And they both tell the investigator, like, did you do an autopsy?
Yeah.
We're like, no, we didn't do an autopsy.
Of course not.
Like, come on.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. So the body was like basically going to the crematory and was halted. And
they probably didn't
around.
Treat it like a crime scene and like.
Oh, no. They did not treat it like a crime scene. So let me tell you, Dr. Kesser also decided to call John's bank and see if there had been any transfers made.
I could not wait to tell you how excited I was about this bread that I found. It's called Royo. You know that I am on a health kick, and you probably know that my husband lives for making our world healthier. So when I found Royo, I was beyond ecstatic to tell you guys about it. So first of all, Royo is a bread. It's low in carbs. It's baked fresh daily. You guys, I'm not even kidding you, every single day. And it has super clean, minimal ingredients. I actually didn't believe this, but it's true. I did some major research, and the best part about it is it tastes really good. Like so good, my son, who is the pickiest eater ever, eats it every day. Actually, that son only wants to eat bread all day long. And now I'm like, sure, have a bagel every day, kid. Low in carbs and high in protein. Awesome. Win-win in my house. Some of these products actually only have 2 carbs in it. So if you're carb conscious, it's a no-brainer. Also packed with fiber. And in my house, like I said, the bagels are our absolutely favorite thing. Again, it's baked fresh daily, super clean ingredients, low carbs, high fiber and protein. Amazing. You can get 20% off. That's right. I was able to score a deal for all of us. 20% off. Go to eatroyo.com and use my promo code CLINK for 20% off. That's promo code CLINK at eatroyo.com.
Did you know your calendar age and your biological age can be totally different? Well, I didn't until I took the True Age test from True Diagnostic. And let me tell you, actually, the results shook me. Turns out my biological age was actually a few years older than I expected, and I thought I was crushing it, you guys. But my metabolic age told a different story. The test showed that my brain age is aging slower, yay, but my inflammation levels were not so great. So here's the deal. If your biological age is even 5 years older than your actual age, your disease risk, like cancer and heart disease, can jump up by 50%. But 90% of that is lifestyle, which means you can actually change it. And True Diagnostic told me exactly how. I got personalized tips from scientists at Harvard, Yale, Duke, and I am now adjusting my sleep, nutrition, and stress habits. Real changes that I'm already making. And it was so easy. Just a finger prick at home and boom, detailed report in 2 weeks. If you care about your health, go to truediagnostic.com and use my code CLINK for 20% off. That's True Diagnostic. T-R-U, no E, diagnostic.com. Use my code CLINK. Your future self will seriously thank you. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, listen, you are not alone. After I turned 40-something, let's not really name it, but my goodness, I started feeling different. I mean, my body started to change. My mood was something crazy. I just felt off. And if you are like me, most people just told me, oh, it's your age. Well, listen, I don't take that. I found something that actually works and I am bringing it to you. If you have not tried Hormone Harmony, it is time. It is amazing. I'm telling you, hands down, this stuff Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages. If you are struggling with life's disturbing symptoms such as PMS, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, racing thoughts, or low moods, I mean, hello, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, check mark here, occasional bloating and gas, and no desire to be in bed next to someone. You know what I'm talking about, guys. Well, yeah, that is where Hormone Harmony can help you. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use my code CLINK at checkout, and that is happymammoth.com. And use the code CLINK for 15% off. I promise you, you will love it.
Because what happened, I think when he saw the bank statement on the counter,
yeah,
he noticed it was like $11.9 million in the bank. And I think he just thought like, this guy's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we just want to make sure.
Yeah.
So the bank guy that he called, he was like, no, there's not been any transfers, but I'm going to make a note of it because John did tell me that, you know, people were trying to open bank accounts in his name.
Yeah.
And then the very next day on Thursday, it pinged and there was a transfer that was made for $8.9 million.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. So they were like, this is a crime scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, on Thursday, before it was a crime scene, because like you now you have to get like a warrant to go in and
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah.
You know, they left and they even let people in his apartment, like Barry and Beth, right?
How would you pull this off? You would have to transfer that money to like some like offshore account where they would never, because otherwise it would just be like,
where they could never get it again or something.
And where they could not find you. Like, I think some of those like little countries will like hide your money for you, not reveal your identity.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you could do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's not how this case ends up, thankfully.
Thankfully. Okay, yeah. Good.
So, like I said, they turn the body around. And on Thursday, this man stops by the front desk at the apartment and gives the receptionist a package for John. He said that he left his wallet in his car, and the manager told this friend that John had unexpectedly died, because at this point she thinks that, just like what the coroner said, is he just, you know, croaked.
Yeah.
The man started to cry and left, and there was the note in the package. It said, J from K, I'm returning your wallet and keys you left in the car. Your answering machine does not work. You need to get an electronic one. Missed you at dinner. Hope nothing's wrong. Okay.
Yep.
So on Friday is finally when the search warrant was put in for John's apartment. And mind you, he died on Sunday.
Oh, geez.
And this is a long time.
That's a long time, yeah.
It is a long time. But they go in and they start investigating. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up out of the elevator, and the investigator is standing outside of the apartment, and the guy is like weird. He has a baseball cap on and he kind of just freezes and he's like, wrong floor. And the investigator is like, the detective is like, who are you?
Yeah.
He has scratches all over his face too. So the guy is like, oh, I think you're somebody we want to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
And sure enough, guess who it was?
Kent.
Kent.
Listen, these criminals, they cannot help but insert themselves in the case.
Yeah, that's what they say. And this guy for sure was, I mean, he showed up.
And investigators are on to that.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had scratches on his face. He couldn't like talk. He was like a bumbling idiot. Mm. And they search him. He has a backpack on. They search him. He's got a dust mask on, or a dust mask inside his backpack. John's keys to his apartment. A taser. Then they go to his car and he has John's computer, of course.
Oh, geez.
Now, I'm going to go back to the autopsy since they just finally finished. Okay. And they see that John has two horseshoe-shaped, like, hyoid bone. I think it's like that bone, like, right under your neck. It was fractured.
Okay.
So he was strangled to death.
Oh.
And he had these two little burn marks in the back of his back.
Oh, yeah.
From the taser.
Yeah.
So basically, this so-called friend Kent, what I like to call AKA douchebag of the century. Okay, douchebag of the century. In early 2009, he was the one that was actually trying to steal the identity. That's what we come to find out. Yeah. What did you know?
What did you know?
He began by opening Yahoo account, like an email account under John's name, but he managed it. And he also opened those bank accounts. And he was making these web searches that said, like, he Googled mentality of the rich.
Okay. So what year did this crime happen?
2010.
Okay.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. But so he was like stalking him for like a minute.
A couple years.
Yeah.
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 I mean, he tried to be
creepy.
I mean, real creepy. I don't know if he tried to get him to invest and then got real. He got in some dire straits, I think, with,
you know, financially. I have good creep radar.
That's good.
It's sometimes people think like you think I'm like being kind of a bitch, but I'm like, nope. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but now I think as you're getting older, you're more like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, don't have the best creep radar.
No, I don't think you do, but I do.
Friend radar. I don't know. Anyways, so we find out that Kent is the one that's been stealing John's identity. He has Googled mentality of the rich because I guess he wants to...
Take over. Yeah.
He also Googled how to pick locks. And what they determined was Kent had placed a GPS tracker on John's car to track his every move.
Super creepy.
Yes. Then he, by the taser, under his friend's name, like another guy's name, but has it sent to himself. And this is like a crazy taser. It's releases 50,000 volts of electricity. And what it says is basically it shoots these two little pings at you. And it's like super crazy jolt, like you're hanging onto a jackhammer with pain.
Yeah.
Okay. And it lasts for 30 seconds. So Kent devises this plan to track John, then go pick his lock, hide inside of his apartment, and wait. And then once John got home, because they found him in his underwear. So I think what had happened, and nobody knows exactly, but let me just tell you my version in my head after reading all this stuff, is that he goes to get in the shower because, you know, he's like a very active guy.
Yeah.
So he goes to get in the shower. He takes his clothes off, but not all of his clothes.
Yeah.
Probably walk back into his bedroom and Kent unleashed the taser on him. They also thought that Kent probably had to do the taser twice because John was a fighter. Kent had bite marks on him.
Oh my gosh.
And scratches all over his face. So I think that John went down like with a super fight.
Yeah.
And Kent's DNA was under John's fingernails. They did find that in the autopsy, thankfully. And then Kent takes John's wallet, his credit cards, financial statements, and on Monday morning, he heads himself right to the bank to transfer that $8.9 million into one of those other accounts that he had opened.
Yeah.
And he uses his credit card, his ID, like he becomes John. in one day. Kent also goes to the post office to do a change of address under John's for John.
Listen, you're going to rob $8.9 million. He should have made himself disappear on one of those islands. Like, you know.
Yeah. Like,
also should have gotten rid of the body because they would have figured out it was him because everybody knows this Ken creep is in the picture. But without a body, it will really slow things down. I mean, you could get yourself like far, far away and set up. Yes.
If anybody wants to know how to be a criminal, just call up Gretchen because
I'll give you some real good advice.
She's very good at knowing exactly what to do. This Kent guy, I'm like, are you a complete idiot?
Yeah.
Like, none of this is going to go your way ever.
Yeah.
You're going to stay in San Diego?
Delusional. And doesn't he know this guy? Probably. He's got people that are going to inherit his estate. They're all going to be like, hey, where's $8.9 million?
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to need that.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it to me is just like weird.
Yeah.
Super weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he got caught right away because he just showed up, you know, but he was going to get caught regardless. Like we just said, like his mistakes were like,
oh, yeah. And I'm sure when they start interviewing his friends, they're like, well, there is this one guy.
Yeah. The creepo.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it didn't even matter because they already had him because he showed up at the apartment and they arrested him right there. They're like, oh, there's the guy making my job real easy.
Yeah.
You know, and then Kent tried to plea for second degree murder. But the DA's like, no, thank you. We have like an overwhelming amount of evidence on you.
Yeah.
And he was sentenced to life in prison for first degree murder.
Okay, good.
Good. John's family also donated $1 million to the Tech Angels.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I like that also. And I wanted to show you Kent's Facebook page real quick. All right. So there's his Facebook profile.
I can't even believe his profile is still up.
It is. It's limited. You could see a few pictures and like some things that.
But enough. He looks like Santa Claus.
Yeah, he does. He looks like your grandpa or like anybody's grandpa.
Yeah. Or anybody's dad. Maybe this is going to sound off, but I'm like, okay, first of all, he's pretty old and he looks like he's living a pretty comfortable life. Like, you've gotten through life this far, you're gonna like screw it all up. And he has like grown daughters by like devising this crazy taser strangling.
So crazy.
Is that just because you're like so old that life in prison doesn't, it's not that big of a threat anymore or what?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
It is so crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, these pictures, he's on like, he's cycling, he's on a trip. He's living the life. He lives in San Diego. It's not bad. No. But John at one point did tell somebody that the guy was like in real financial dire straits. And so I think he kind of lost his marbles.
Yikes.
And it's unfortunate because John had like a longer life to live. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is not okay.
Yeah.
So even if you want to strangle somebody for money, don't do it.
No. I don't advocate that.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to make sure, Gretchen. Yeah. So that's the story of John Watson from La Jolla and Kent Kegwig. In jail for murder.
Murder.
First degree.
Yeah. So what's the moral of the story? Okay. One, if John was married, this wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
Okay.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm going to also tell you that I think if you have money, you should just spend it.
You know, I know I used to work at this little hole in the wall in Montecito.
Yeah.
The sushi place. And a lot of people with a lot of money would just not drive nice cars and, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
not spent. And then I would go home and, you know, I would see their name on their credit cards. I'd like Google like whatever and see they're worth like $400 million, you know?
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, I don't think you need to be flashy, but, you know, I mean,
at least maybe live in something that's not like an apartment where any Joe Schmo can just like get up the elevator, you know? Like, yes. Maybe if he had a security gate.
Yes. That's
he
what
could
I'm
have
saying.
Been in one of those like high rise security. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you just have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the moral of the story. If you got millions, then maybe you need a.
All right. I get my millions, I'll take that into account.
Well, you know what? I'm getting Gretchen a money tree because she said that she it got me one once. And so that's her next present. I'm giving it to her. Just told her that this weekend. And that's all from our down in San Diego trip.
I know.
Yeah. Gretchen's coming up this week also to my house. We can record again. That's all, folks.
All right.
Let's head 4 hours home. Hopefully there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
All right. Clink, clink. How was your bloody?
So good.
So good.
Ready to go.
All right.
Hit that traffic.
She's not driving, by the way. We have our husbands here to drive. All right.
Okay.
See you next time. Oh, well. I mean, because we always say it, if you love us, give us a 5-star.
Oh, yeah. 5-star rate us.
Yeah. We're moving up on the ranks, guys. So thank you so much. We've gotten some really good comments. We really appreciate them. Also, follow us on Instagram, Housewives of True Crime. Facebook. We also have a closed Facebook group. If you're tired of hearing that, you can end the session earlier.
love you to join.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Clink, clink.
Bye. Clink, clink.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.